tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold. In the tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings hearts find peace and gold.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani channel, welcome and marhaba to another episode of the series Dimensions of Islamic Life. And inshallah, in today's episode and program, we are going to discuss the biography of the great Imam of the millions of Hanafis, Imam Azam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali. Sayyidina Data Ganj Bakhsh Ali Hajweri Hanafi Rahimahullah Ta'ala. He had a deep attachment to Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, Sayyidina Nu'man bin Thabit Radiyallahu Ta'ala Anhu. He has related that during the journey to Syria, I visited the sacred tomb of Sayyidina Bilal Radiyallahu Ta'ala Anhu, the blessed muazzin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There I slept and found myself in Makkah Mukarramah. Here I saw the greatest and the holiest Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the door of the tribe of Bani Shayba, kindly holding an elderly man as a child is held in the hands. Out of my overwhelming love, I fell upon the feet of the noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I was curious to know who this aged man was. The noble Prophet knew the state of my curiosity, and due to his blessed knowledge of the unseen and his inner power, he said to me that this is Abu Hanifa and he is your Imam. Subhanallah. After relating this dream, Sayyidina Data Ganje Bakhsh Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali has stated that I learned that Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala ali is regarded amongst those blessed personalities whose qualities are established like the established rulings of Sharia. This is why the one with the most graceful manners, the most revered and renowned Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed an immense attachment to Imam Azam rahmatullahi ta'ala ali, which leads to this conclusion that the way the noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is free from committing mistakes, in the same way, by the grace of Allah azza wa jal and his beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyidina Imam Azam rahmatullahi ta'ala ali is also free from committing mistakes. Subhanallah. And this can be sourced to the great work of Data Ganj Bakhsh rahmatullahi ta'ala ali in Kashful Mahjub Sharif. And the great Mufti of the previous era, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khanaimi rahmatullahi ta'ala, he has composed a beautiful manqabat in the praise of Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala. Inshallah, a few ashar for the sake of barakah we'll recite. He says,
Hamare aqa, hamare maula, Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, Hamare Malja, Hamare Mawa, Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, Zamane Bhar Mein Bahut Tajassus Kiya, Walekin Mila Na Koi Imam Tum Sa, Imam Azam Abu Hanifa.
Subhanallah, subhanallah, sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And now, it comes time, as we always do, to extol the virtues of reciting Salat ala Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The beloved Mustafa, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has himself stated that the one closest to me on the Day of Judgment will be the one who would have recited the most durood upon me. So without further ado, let's wholeheartedly recite Salat ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam. So we just learned about this parable that Sayyidina Data Ganj Bakhsh Hajwari rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has related in his world famous Kashful Mahjub Sharif, that through this parable we have learned the glory and the eminence of Imam Azam rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, and at the same time we also realize that the prophet of creation, the peace of our heart and mind, the most generous and kind sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is also aware of the states of the hearts. Due to this reason, he fulfilled the curiosity of Sayyidina Data Ganj Bakhsh rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. He sallallahu alayhi wasallam replied that this is Abu Hanifa and he is your Imam. This was just a dream. The beloved and blessed Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has revealed much knowledge of the unseen on numerous other occasions. Subhanallah. Sayyida Unaysa radiallahu ta'ala anha, she related that my father has told me that when he had fallen ill, the noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had visited him and said, this illness would not be a source of harm for you, but having passed a long time, you will lose your eyesight after my apparent demise. Listening to this, my father humbly said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I will be patient for the sake of the reward. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to that he replied, if you do this, you will enter paradise without accountability. After the apparent demise of the noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, my father, he began to lose his eyesight. Then after a period, Allah azza wa jal regained his eyesight and then he passed away. Allahu Akbar, subhanallah. Allah azza wa jal had granted him his eyesight back, and after that time, shortly he passed away. Now, listening to this narration, somebody might think that if knowledge of the unseen is only possessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then how can the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reveal the knowledge of the unseen? Shaitan can whisper in your ears and make you have all sort of, you know, all these sort of thoughts that may creep in your head. And there is no doubt that Allah azza wa jal is alimul ghaybi wa shahada, the all-encompassing knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is his personal knowledge and it is not bestowed by anyone, which is from forever, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is azali, he is there from eternity, and whereas the vast knowledge of the blessed prophets alayhimus salam and the saints rahimahumullah ta'ala is bestowed knowledge by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning it is not their personal knowledge, it is granted to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and their knowledge is not from eternity, meaning from forever, but the knowledge is hadith, and they never had it, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given them the knowledge. Allahu Akbar. They only know since they have been bestowed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they know as much as they have been bestowed. Also, they do not know anything, not even equal to the tiniest particle, without the bestowal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the question remains, who has been bestowed with how much? Now, this is only the knowledge of the one who is bestowed knowledge by the divine creator Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the one receiving this knowledge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as it is mentioned in the glorious Quran, وَمَا هُوَ عَلَى الْغَيْبِ بِضَنِينَ. And he, meaning Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is not a miser to disclose the unseen. Regarding the blessed verse, it is stated in the commentary of Tafsir Khazin that this blessed verse implies that when the Prophet of Rahmah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the intercessor of the Ummah, the owner of Jannah, he attains knowledge of the unseen, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shows no miserliness in this regard but shares it with you. We have learned from this blessed verse and its interpretation that the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reveals knowledge of the unseen, and it is obvious that only the one who knows can disclose it. Revealing his knowledge of the unseen, the noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated, لَوْ كَانَ الْعِلْمُ بِالسُّرَيَّةِ لَتَنَاوَلَهُ أُنَاسٌ مِّنْ أَبْنَاءِ فَارَسِ. That if knowledge were hanging on the Surayya cluster of seven stars, some people from the descendants of Persia would surely find it from there. Subhanallah. Sayyidina Imam Ibn Hajar Makki rahimahullah ta'ala, he has stated that this sacred hadith refers to the blessed personality of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. And there is no doubt in this fact, because none from Persia could attain such a superior status like Imam Azam radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Even the levels of the knowledge of his students were greatly advanced. We also have the evident miracle of the noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he revealed the knowledge of the unseen and stated what was going to happen in the future. Subhanallah. Jo ho chuka hai jo hoga, huzur jante hain. This fact is azhar min ash-shams wa abyan min al-ams, brighter than the sun and more believable than the past, that our beloved and blessed Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been bestowed with the knowledge of the unseen by Allah azza wa jal. It is for this reason that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam revealed the information about Imam Azam's overwhelming insight and eminence in knowledge even before the blessed birth of Imam Azam rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. It has happened exactly as it was stated by the revered and renowned Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the blessed Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi came into this world, the popularity of his blessed knowledge spread and illuminated all corners of the world. If we look at the literal meaning of the blessed name of Abu Hanifa, and Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala, that was his appellation. And if we look at his name, what was his name, actual name? His name wasn't Abu Hanifa, his name wasn't Imam Azam. What was his actual name? Subhanallah. His name was Sayyidina Nu'man. We discover absolute conformity of his blessed name with his grand personality, subhanallah. Shaykhul Islam Shahabuddin Imam Ahmad ibn Hajar Haythami Makki Shafi rahimahullah ta'ala has concluded that scholars have consensus over his name being Nu'man, and a very pleasant and graceful thing in the blessed name of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala is that Nu'man refers to such blood which retains the structure, meaning the proper functioning of the human body. So the reason behind calling him by the name of Nu'man is that he rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi is a base and foundation of Islamic jurisprudence. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Tumhare aage tamam alam na kyon kare zanwe adab kham ki peshwaya ne deen mana Imam Azam Abu Hanifa. Siraj tu hai beghair tere jo koi samjhe hadith o Quran, phire bhatakta na paaye rasta Imam Azam Abu Hanifa. Subhanallah. Sallu ala al habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam. If you use the famous name of Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala, as we learned, is Nu'man, and the name of his father is Thabit, and his appellation, his kunya, is Abu Hanifa, and his title is Imam Azam, Al-Imam Al-Azam. He was born in the year 80 Hijri in the city of Kufa, a famous city in Iraq, and passed away on the 2nd of Sha'ban Al-Mu'azzam in the year 150 Hijri at the age of 70 years. His blessed tomb is still situated in Baghdad Sharif. All four Imams of Fiqh, meaning Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala ali, Imam Shafi rahmatullahi ta'ala ali, Imam Malik rahmatullahi ta'ala ali, and Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi ta'ala ali, are righteous, and their disciples of proper faith are brothers to one another. Sayyidina Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala ali, his rank is the highest amongst all four Imams. Therefore, the title just befits him, subhanallah, so well, Al-Imam Al-Azam. One of the reasons for this is that he is the only Tabi'i among them. Tabi'i refers to one who had met any Sahabi, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning the companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, while in the state of Iman and faith, and also passed away in the state of Iman. According to different narrations, Imam Azam rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi was privileged to meet a few blessed Sahaba and has also listened to the blessed hadith of the noble prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam directly from some of the blessed sahaba alayhim ridwan. Subhanallah. Hai naam Nu'man ibn Thabit Abu Hanifa hai unki kunyat. Pukarta hai ye keh ke alam Imam Azam Abu Hanifa. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Sayyidina Abu Nu'aym rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has stated that regarding the physical appearance of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi is that his blessed face, clothing and shoes, etc. would always remain in a good condition and he would help everyone who visited him. Subhanallah. That was a brief introduction of how was the appearance and the conduct of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi in a few lines. And Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi was of a medium height. He rahimahullah would interact with people in a very dignified manner and he would abundantly apply fragrance, itr, and he would also be recognized by his pleasant fragrance. Subhanallah. Sayyidina Mis'ar bin Khidam rahimahullah ta'ala has said that I once came to the masjid of Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. I noticed that after offering Salatul Fajr, he rahimahullah ta'ala continued delivering religious knowledge to the people throughout the day. And during this time, he only took breaks for Salah. After Salatul Isha, he headed home. A short while later, he rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi was dressed in a simple clothing, applied itr, and with a luminous face, he came to the masjid with his fragrance personality filling the air, subhanallah. He performed Nawafil Salah, optional prayers at the corner of the masjid and continued until the morning. Thereafter, he returned home, wore something else, and after offering Salatul Fajr with Jamaat, with congregation, his routine of preaching continued till Isha, just like the previous day. And I thought he would have been exhausted by now, so he would rather rest that night, but he followed the same routine the following night as well. Later, he spent the third day and night in the same way. I was profoundly influenced by this and decided to stay in his company throughout my life. And so I stayed permanently in his masjid. Throughout my stay there, I always saw Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi observing fast during the day, and he was never heedless of worship and nafl every night. However, he rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi would have a little rest just before the Zuhr Salah. Allahu Akbar. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam Azam rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi was also in the profession of trade to earn halal income, halal livelihood, along with teaching and learning. He, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, would not only do business within the confines of Shari doctrines and principles, but would also care for others and urge his colleagues to do the same. Subhanallah. Sayyidina Hafs bin Abdurrahman, rahimahullah ta'ala, used to trade with Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah ta'ala. And he once had some goods while sending it to Sayyidina Hafs, rahimahullah. He said, "Oh Hafs, such and such cloth bears some defect. Disclose this when you are selling it." Sayyidina Hafs forgot about the defect and sold it as is, without even remembering who the customers were. So when Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi came to know about this, he distributed the value of that whole stock as sadaqah and charity. Allahu Akbar. Have you observed that when a business partner of Imam Azam rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi unintentionally sold defective goods, Imam Azam rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi gave away its value in sadaqah? But alas, today defective goods are not sold unintentionally in our society, but they are sold by cheating, concealing the defects of those goods and false oaths. Allahu Akbar. many of us, our moral and ethical values have stumbled into the depth of degradation to such an extent that when our kids tell a lie or manage to extract something from somebody by cheating, we consider it a great deal and praise the child for doing that, sometimes foolishly saying, "My dear, you have learned the trick now." Or we may say, "You have learned the business dealings. You know how to do business now. You have become, you know, intelligent. MashaAllah." These are the kinds of things we associate with lying and cheating with people. On the contrary, we must provide madani training to our children that we should not strike a bargain by cheating or lying, and such wicked actions would actually lead to a decline in our business because of a divine punishment, and we will be destroyed even in the hereafter. We shall be humiliated and deserve divine torment. Those who cheat and deceive should ponder upon the beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He has stated, "La yu'minu ahadukum hatta yuhibba li akhihi ma yuhibbu li nafsihi." None of you will become a true believer until he loves for his fellow brother what he loves for himself. Therefore, who would like to receive ruined goods or receive goods by cheating or lying? Who likes to consume interest or likes bribes? Who wants to become poor due to his simplicity? Undeniably, no one will like all these things. Allahu Akbar. No one will like all these things for himself. Then if we don't like it for ourselves, then why do we make business plans and dealings to trap fellow Muslims in such wicked actions? Why do we do this? This hadith should be an eye-opener for us. Allahu Akbar. Here, another narration where Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu has narrated that the noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed by a heap of grain, and he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put his hand inside to find wetness inside. So he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "O owner of this grain, what is this?" The man humbly said, "These have been wet by rainfall." He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Why did you not put the rain damaged grain on top so that people could see it? Whoever cheats us is not one of us." Allah, Allah. Through this blessed hadith, we have come to know that making any product defective is also a sin, and concealing defect, because, you know, the concealing the defects, if it has become defective, then concealing those defects caused by nature is also a sin. Look, the beloved and blessed Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarded the concealed grain to be contaminated. May Allah azza wa jal save us from telling lies and cheating in business, keeping in view the principles of Sharia. Ameen bijahin nabiyil ameen. Cheating and deceiving Muslims is a terrible thing. Remember that if we sell defective item using false oaths without disclosing the defect, it obviously means that we have deprived the purchaser of his due right, and we will be held accountable for this offense on the day of judgment. Therefore, we should not cause any delay in discharging the rights of people which are incumbent upon us, and to also seek true forgiveness from those whose rights we have violated in the past, and be cautious in this regard. We should be cautious at all times, whether now or in future. Especially controlling the tongue in this connection is crucial, because the tongue is such an organ that makes one commit more sins. It may bring us to disgrace in the hereafter by making us utter harsh remarks for someone, or indulging us in some backbiting. It is for this reason Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh used to guard his tongue and used to speak little. Sayyidina Shariq rahimahullah ta'ala, he commented that Sayyidina Imam Azam rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi used to remain silent. He rahimahullah was incredibly intelligent. He was given remarkable intelligence by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And despite being such a glorified jurist of Islam, he rahimahullah used to avoid debates and arguments with others. Once Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahimahullah ta'ala told Sayyidina Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah ta'ala that alhamdulillah, Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala ali is that personality against backbiting that he has never heard the Imam speaking ill of even his enemies. Allahu Akbar. Meaning the personality of Imam Azam rahmatullahi ta'ala ali is such that he refrains from backbiting even regarding his own enemies. Sayyidina Dumaira has stated that there is no disagreement over the truthfulness of Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala. He rahimahullah ta'ala would never speak ill of anybody. Hence, he rahimahullah was told that people were using offensive language against him. But even upon that, he rahmatullahi ta'ala never spoke harshly against them or others. He has stated that my patience and forbearance over foul language of people is a great favor. My patience and forbearance over foul language of people is a great favor and grace of Allah Azza wa Jal, who bestows whomsoever He wishes. Sayyidina Bukair bin Ma'ruf rahimahullah ta'ala, he has stated that I have never seen anyone in the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more courteous than Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. The shair says, Fuzul goi ki nikle adat ho dur be ja hasi ki khaslat durud parta rahu mein har dam Imam Azam Abu Hanifa. We just realized through all these comments of different dignitaries of Islam that Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala would remain silent frequently in order to save himself from the harms of excessive talking. And he would avoid unnecessary chatter. Undoubtedly, excessive talking and speaking without thinking can result in terrible consequences. And it may become a cause of displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, safety lies in Qufle Madina of the tongue, meaning saving oneself from unnecessary things. In order to develop the habit of being silent, it is beneficial to communicate by writing or gestures, because one who speaks more also makes more mistakes, even revealing secrets. Allahu Akbar. It is also incredibly difficult for such a talkative person to avoid sins like backbiting, carrying tales and fault finding, etc. Even the person who has the habit of talking excessively sometimes utters blasphemous words, ma'azallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us and grant us the privilege of observing Qufle Madina. Good and pious company and gatherings are rare nowadays, dear viewers. Many good-looking people are also found in worthless gossiping. If only we meet people for the sake of Allah Almighty, and the meeting should be according to need only, meaning it should have a purpose. It shouldn't be just done for no apparent reasons, as time is precious and we shouldn't be talking unnecessarily. The beloved and blessed Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated, part of the perfection of one's Islam is to leave what does not concern him. Subhanallah. Commenting on this beautiful hadith, Sadr al-Sharia, Batr al-Tariqah, Hazrat Allama Mawlana Mufti Muhammad Amjad Ali Azmi, rahimahullah ta'ala, he has stated that one should not involve himself in futile matters and prevent his tongue, heart, and organs from useless things. It is stated on page 396 of a renowned book entitled Call to Righteousness, authored by His Eminence Shaykh al-Tariqat Amir al-Sunnah Damat Barakatum al-Aliyah, who has stated that once Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala was in the wudu area of the Jami Masjid in Kufa, where he saw a young man performing ablution. Drops of water of wudu dripping from the body of that person, the Imam said to him, "Son, repent from disobeying your parents." The young man instantly replied, "I have repented." Then, seeing drops of water dripping from the limbs of another man, Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala said to him, "O brother, repent from adultery." The man replied, "I have repented." SubhanAllah. Thereafter, seeing the drops of water dripping from the limbs of a third person, the Imam said to him, "Repent from drinking intoxicants, listening to songs and music." And he replied, "I have repented." Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala was blessed with the power of spiritual insight, and he was able to see the faults of people even in the wudu water that were dripping from their body limbs. He rahimahullah then made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove his power of kashf from him. Allah azza wa jal accepted his dua, and thereafter he rahimahullah ta'ala was no longer able to see the sins of people dripping off their limbs during wudu. Allah Akbar. Subhanallah. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We just read the account of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala, that how he would see the disobedience and wrongdoings of people dripping off their limbs from the drops of wudu water. It was certainly a great miracle and the karamat of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. However, he rahimahullah did not like to be aware of people's faults, and then he rahmatullahi ta'ala made dua in the blessed court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for preventing this divine attribute from him, and Allah azza wa jal answered his supplication and dua. There is a warning here for those people who make tall claims, big claims of their devotion and strong attachment to Sayyidina Imam Azam rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, but they also indulge in finding faults in others. Remember, unnecessarily finding faults in others is a disgusting and nasty habit, as well as it is a sin and a haram act leading to hell. It is stated in the glorious Quran, وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا, and do not search for faults. And if we disclose that fault to others, then it is another sin. And if that fault is of any scholar, then the sin is multiplied. In this regard, Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala ali, Allahu Akbar, he didn't want to be informed of people's faults. Therefore, he supplicated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove this ability from him. Allahu Akbar. He didn't want to be made aware of the faults of people. And look at our state, how we just blow up the covers and the privacy of people, the izzat, the respect, the honor, the dignity. We don't care for anything. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala ali, he used to take great care of people's secrets. Sayyidina Imam Abu Hamid Muhammad bin Muhammad bin Muhammad al-Ghazali rahimahul ta'ala, he has stated in Kimiya-i Sa'adat that disclosing the fault of any scholar is haram due to two reasons. Firstly, it is backbiting, and secondly, is that people grow bold upon committing the same sin fearlessly, assuming it to be a justification and proof, and shaitan will also aid the one following such acts, and he would mislead by satanic whispering that you also do such and such things, you are not more pious than so and so scholar, etc. These whispers can be put in our minds by shaitan. Therefore, we need to put a stop to it, inshallah. The more people will be made aware about that fault, the more that sin will be multiplied. First and foremost, a Muslim should refrain from finding faults in others. And if someone does relate it, he should still avoid it. In case if he comes to know anyone's fault, then he should conceal it and must not reveal it without any Shari'i reason. Inshallah Azza wa Jal. In this regard, there are beautiful sayings of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In one hadith, the beloved Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, one who keeps a secret, one who keeps the secret of a mu'min, it is as if he has given life to a baby girl who was buried alive. Allahu Akbar. Number second, the second hadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is that if anyone removes a worry from a Muslim, Allah Azza wa Jal will remove one of the anxieties from him on the day of resurrection. And if anyone conceals the fault of a Muslim, Allah Azza wa Jal will conceal his fault on the day of judgment. Subhanallah. In the next hadith, the beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, the one who conceals the fault of his brother after becoming aware of it, he will be entered into paradise. Allah Allah, Subhanallah. Meri zaban par ufle Madina lag jaye, fuzul goi se bachta rahun sada ya Rab. Kisi ki khamiya dekhe na meri aankhein aur sune na kaan bhi aibo ka tazkira ya Rab. Ameen. Bijahil Nabiyil Amin, Sallu Alal Habib, Sallallahu Ta'ala Ala Muhammad, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It is mentioned that Sayyidina Qais bin Rabi' Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi has narrated, Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi would accumulate goods of trade from his earnings. Then he would buy clothing with that and he would present them to the scholars, the muhaddithin, and needy people. And then he would state, glorify Allah Azza wa Jal who has blessed you with this. I swear by Allah Azza wa Jal that I have not given you anything from my possession. If any person would visit Sayyidina Imam Azam Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, he would inquire about him. And if he would be needy, he would give something to him. Once a person visited Sayyidina Imam Azam Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, wearing torn and tattered clothing, upon leaving others, the Imam, Subhanallah, the great Imam, instructed him to sit when he was alone. Imam Azam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullahi Ta'ala said, lift this prayer mat and pick what is beneath it. He found 1,000 dirham underneath it. Imam Azam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullahi Ta'ala said to him, take these dirhams and improve your condition. He humbly said, I am already prosperous. I have blessings and bounties and I do not need it. Upon that, Sayyidina Imam Azam Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali replied, have you not heard this hadith that Allah Azza wa Jalla loves to see the effect of his blessings upon his bondsmen? Allahu Akbar. You should improve your condition so that your friend should not feel sympathetic towards you. Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Now, according to this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves to see the effect of his bounties upon the person. Through the narration and the hadith that we have learned, in the light of that hadith, we have learned that we must help the poor and destitute Muslims. We have also come to realize from this parable of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi that we should emphasize and adopt cleanliness as well. The beautiful deen of Islam has not only elevated the status and honor of the human being by the wealth of iman, but has also warded off the human from the filth of polytheism and blessed us with supreme teachings of outer purity and cleanliness in order to keep the status and the standard of humanity elevated. Subhanallah. Whether it is purity of the body, dress, one's physical appearance, house, possession, or conveyance. In fact, everything, including good manners. Subhanallah. Indeed, the deen of Islam motivates us to keep everything clean and attractive as it is mentioned in the blessed verse of the Holy Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَّهِّرِينَ. Indeed, Allah loves those who repent profusely and He loves those who purify themselves. Subhanallah. Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, she has narrated that the revered and renowned Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has stated that undoubtedly Islam is clean, therefore you should also keep yourselves clean. Only the purified person will enter Jannah. Sayyidina Sahl bin Hanzala radiallahu ta'ala anhu has reported that the greatest and the holiest Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has stated, clean and clothes which you wear, look after your ride and conveyance and your physical appearance should be clean in a way that when you meet people, they respect you. Subhanallah. These are the beautiful words of advice, subhanallah, by the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And these are the same teachings that Imam Azam rahmatullahi ta'ala would teach others, and he would give them the inspiration from the noble words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to practice. Now we are going to listen to a beautiful kalam and convey our salam in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Tu salam mera ro ro ke kehna. And it is recited wonderfully by our brother Arif Attari sallamhul bari. After that, we'll be back shortly after this kalam. So keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Madine wale se mera salam kehna. Salam se ro ro ke kehna, tu salam se ro ro ke kehna. Zaire taba roze pe ja kar, tu salam se ro ro ke kehna. Fasana suna kar, mere gham ka fasana suna kar, tu salam se ro ro ke kehna. Madine
tu salam se ro ro ke kehna, salam se ro ro ke kehna.
Teri qismat pe rashk aa raha hai, tu Madine ko ab ja raha hai. Teri qismat pe rashk aa raha hai, tu Madine ko ab ja raha hai. Aha jata hai mujhko rula kar, aha jata hai mujhko rula kar, tu salam se ro ro ke kehna.
Madine tu salam se ro ro ke kehna, tu salam se ro ro ke kehna.
Jab pahunch jaye tera سفینہ جب نظر آئے میٹھا مدینہ جب پہنچ جائے تیرا سفینہ جب نظر آئے میٹھا مدینہ با ادب اپنے سر کو جھکا کر با ادب اپنے سر کو جھکا کر تو سلام سے رو رو کے کہنا
مدینے والے الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله أسألك الشفاعة يا رسول الله أسألك الشفاعة يا رسول الله اسألک شفاعت یا رسول اللہ زائر قبر منور کی شفاعت ہوگی ہے یہی آپ کا فرمان مدینے والے مدینے والے جب کے پیش نظر جالیاں ہوں تیری آنکھوں سے آنسو روا ہوں میرے غم کی کہانی سنا کر سبھی کے مزاروں پہ جا کر تو سبھی کے مزاروں پہ جا کر تو سلام سے رو رو کے کہنا مدینے والے
سلام سے رو رو
اس کا پورا شاہ کر تو سلام سے رو رو کے کہنا
مدینے سلام سے رو رو کے کہنا تو سلام سے رو رو کے کہنا
Welcome back, dear viewers. Subhanallah, we were listening to this beautiful kalam, Tu Salam Mera Ro Ro Ke Kehna. And it is our heartfelt wish that one day we are present in the august court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and are reciting salam upon him. Ameen bijahin nabihil ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring this wish of ours to fruition for the sake of the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ameen bijahin nabiyil ameen. Alhamdulillah, we have come right to the conclusion of our today's episode and program, and we have learned many great lessons from the life of the great imam, the imam of millions of Muslims, subhanallah, Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, and hope it serves as an inspiration for all of us to continue with this motivation that we have attained in today's episode and program from the great imam of millions of Hanafis, Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. Until next time, inshallah, we'll see you on the same platform of Madani channel. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold.